Everybody, welcome into a special edition of the Daily Energy Newsbeat Stand-Up here on this gorgeous Friday, March 17th, 2023. We've got a great weekly recap show where we are bringing you the top segments from the week. It was a huge week. We've got SVB bank collapsing, European banks in peril, Credit Suisse all over the place. For oil and gas, it was a little spicy. Oil currently sitting at like 66 bucks, so it's not been pretty. We will bring you a full analysis of what happened over the weekend on Monday now, but for guys, join us in viewing our top segments. Let's kick it off.
Renewable energy investors squeezed by higher interest rates and cost. This has, you mentioned it, Michael, in the first, this story actually has a byline with the bank failure this weekend. Higher costs have buyers and sellers of renewable power projects recalculating potential returns, hampering fundraising, mergers and acquisitions, M&A. One of the quotes in here is just horrific. We came out of a cycle of low interest rates in which it was easy to look for an asset, buy, build, de-risk, and sell cash flows. Now, the transitions we are seeing are for growth. They're not based so much on cash flows, said Oscar Perez, investment director for fund manager at Qualitas Energy. The pool of operators or investors out there who can handle those changes and generate improvements is much smaller than you think. So the whole renewable market is in trouble. We're not going to be able to add new renewables. We're not going to be able to add new. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have financing. You're not going to have, mm-hmm. I mean, you and I talked last week, even several weeks now, just because we have the Inflation Reduction Act with all the extra money doesn't mean it's going to get done.
And well, now it's got to go somewhere. So it'll be interesting to see how it ends up flowing. I do think with the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, you will see it's going to hurt the renewables game even more, because this was one of few banks that came out and made very generous loans to these climate tech companies. So it'll be interesting to see how this money and through what mechanism this money gets distributed through.
No, and what's going to be interesting is you're going to see people, you can tell, and I'm going to give a shout out to the Energy Newsbeat team here. We're about the consumer. We are about the American people, the people of the world, and low cost energy. This is not a good thing by any stretch of the imagination. How Germany plans to phase out oil and gas heating. Okay, you can't buy this kind of entertainment out there. Now, they are not going to be able to fill in 2023-2024 winters. So natural gas is going to be a problem. I just interviewed Osam Rizvi from Pakistan, and they didn't even get a LNG tanker because of the issues there in Pakistan. So LNG is still going to be king, but let me drop into this article here for a reason. Since about half of Germany's households are still dependent on gas and oil, switching to alternatives is costly and simply not affordable for many. A heat pump costs $11,000 for a single family home. Michael, the problem with a heat pump is it runs on electricity. How's Germany increasing their electricity? Coal.
Yeah, I was going to say that. They want to get you on a heat pump and you on solar to provide, and then they're providing you the electricity to run these things from coal. So you have to pay for the higher energy costs and they get it cheaper.
And then they want you to pay $11,000. I can't afford that right now. And there's so many folks that cannot do that.
Deal. What do you mean? That's a steal.
You first.
I blinked.
Yes.
It's like a Mexican standoff.
Yeah. I'm over here going to go. I'm going to start, instead of the Me Too movement with all the women coming forward, I'm starting a You First movement. Hashtag You First.
Right. They announced a new federal lending program. Okay, so let's walk through the steps here about what happening? How? Because one of the key announcements in the Silicon Valley Bank bailout, I'm using quotes, I'll call it a bailout, we'll call it a depositor guarantee, was right, that the taxpayer will not be foot the bill. That was one of the first things that Joe Biden said. Okay, so how does that happen? Well, the Federal Reserve is the one that is providing the backstop, which, okay, true. Technically, that's not the taxpayer. But guess what's happening? So what got Silicon Valley mixed up in the first place is they took all the deposits that people had,
right,
and they traded them for illiquid private market assets, mortgage-backed securities, equity in private companies that have no, that are very illiquid. Think of the most illiquid things you can think of, gold. I mean, gold's even probably more liquid than what they had, and held that on their balance sheet to meet their minimum of to balance their balance sheet, to be pun intended. Okay.
Right.
So then as withdrawals happen, you eventually have to then keep going to your assets, these mortgage-backed securities, these U.S. Treasury bonds, these things that you've purchased that are in illiquid markets, and sell them at the market price of whatever it's trading at now, regardless of where you bought it at. They were having to sell, they've been selling treasuries and mortgage-backed securities at a 30 to 40% loss for like 3 weeks now. And so then what, so now all of a sudden you're in this precarious position where you're left with no cash and all of these illiquid securities, whether, again, mortgage-backed securities, treasury bonds, some that's not as liquid as maybe cash is or maybe stocks are.
Right.
How do you get cash quickly? Well, the Fed came in and today, on top of guaranteeing deposits, announced a new lending program. And I want to read you some of the language here. This is from the Financial Times. I think they do a great job of breaking this down. They say the so-called bank term funding program will offer loans up to 1 year to lenders that pledge collateral, including U.S. treasuries and other, quote, qualifying assets like mortgage-backed securities, like all these other things. And this is the scariest part, Stu, which will be valued at par. Whoa. What does that mean? Break that down. You buy a mortgage-backed security. I give you $1,000, Stu. You turn around and sell that $1,000 or use that $1,000 to go get a mortgage-backed security valued at $1,000. The value of that mortgage-backed security drops to $500. I come to you and need my $1,000 back. You say, I don't have your $1,000. I have $500 and $500 worth of mortgage-backed securities. So what the Fed just said is we're going to open up a lending program that we will buy your mortgage-backed security, Stu, for at par. Well, what's par? $1,000. So basically, they will give you $1,000 for something that's valued $500 on the market as another backstop lending program. It's unbelievable what they've actually come out and done today. And it's the second thing nobody's talking about. Everyone's talking about depositors versus this. And wow, I think that's all well and due. But it's the second, I'm gonna be on this for a while. The bank term funding program is, I think, one of the scariest things they've rolled out. Because now what they basically said is any bank can do whatever they want. And when they mess up, it really is. The idea of too big to fail is the idea of too big to fail was a Democratic thing. Like the Democrats, Bernie Sanders made his name saying the term too big to fail. And now in 2023, I'm on the Bernie Sanders side. These banks are too big to fail and they keep getting more and more help. At some point, you can't, it's just insane. I could go on and on about this, but I think that's the most important fact to note is this bank term funding program, which basically guarantees that no bank will ever go under, which, I mean, that's insane. So it goes beyond the depositor. What this has to do with circling this all back to what this means for energy, I think it's clear. Silicon Valley Bank was one of the few companies that backed and provided debt, venture debt, provided products that allowed founders of startup and founders of Silicon Valley tech startups and everything you want, gave them capital to be able to really large majority of climate tech startup banked with Silicon Valley Bank. And they were a huge proponent of that.
China to host major Middle East summit after the success of Saudi Iran. Let me go into this relationship. Back in 1979, that was before you were born, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, shoes. Oh, my young apprentice. The Saudi monarchy, based on its legitimacy back then on Islam, it was really bad back then when you're talking about at Oklahoma State when I was there. It was always the Iranians protesting the Shah, and it was bad on the campus. So, I mean, it was, you know, it was just a whole nother thing. So then you take a look at coming around the corner in 1980 to 1988, Iraq invaded Iran, an 8-year war, and Saudi Arabia remained neutral. But it caused a real problem with the gas going on and the chemical weapons and all that kind of stuff. 1982, Saudi Arabia supplies Iraq with $1 billion in month in aid.
Ooh,
Rutrow. So they even got on the other side, and it was partly because back then they had lobbed some chemical weapons over on that, and it was getting ugly on both sides. So Saudi was afraid they were next on the chemical weapons list. So 2001, I'm dropping down in here, is the next one. Iran and Saudi sign a security pact agreement. This was like holy smokes. Now, when you come down here, July 2015, Iran and the world's six major powers each reach a deal over Iran's controversial nuclear program. Saudi officials publicly endorsed the deal despite their past reservation. So it's kind of cool. They started coming around in 2015, and let's come down here again.
It's a long article, man. They go through, this is detailed. They're talking about multiple quotes per month.
Oh, absolutely. But you need to go read this to understand the whole process in order to understand how important China's brokering of this deal is, because the success of this deal is so good. You have had, I think 60% of all the countries in the Middle East are going to China to go to this summit, so China can broker deals. I'm serious. When was the last time that deals were brokered in the Middle East in order to make peace?
It hasn't been in my lifetime.
It was under the Trump administration, the Abraham Accord. And then that was the first time that they started.
Okay, you're right. I forgot about the Abraham Accords.
Many, many years. That is a triumph. And then Biden administration comes in and it goes whoop, off and gone. China comes in because this is all a slap in the face to the Biden administration. So we're going to go ahead and table the rest of the article on China, because I got a bunch more stuff coming up on this. And it's using its economic ties to influence Iran's behavior. China understands the way to Iran's heart is through money. They need it badly right now.
Yep. And I think this later on down in this article, it says Saudi officials hope that Beijing can use its economic ties to influence Iran's behavior, as China remains the biggest importer of Iranian crude. The who buy oil gain the power.
And they are also, this is what this, all this article means. Both these articles means it's going to speed up the getting rid of the petrodollar. The United States dollar is going to move away, not be the world standard, even faster now. Anyway, Biden's 30% crypto electricity tax may be too blunt of a solution. All right. I'm interviewing a very nice guy tomorrow on Bitcoin. So it's going to be a good educational thing for me, ESG Bitcoin. So I've got, this will help. In his latest budget for fiscal year, first paragraph, fiscal year 2024, President Biden has proposed new tax on electricity use from cryptocurrency mining. If the budget becomes law, a 30% tax will be phased in over 3 years. The proposal aims to address the growing concern about the environmental impact of cryptocurrency. All right. Where most of the crypto miners are going is they're looking for trapped natural gas. they're looking to get off the grid. And if they can find trap natural gas means where they cannot export it out on a pipeline. And there's a bunch of places where you've got a lot of natural gas or flared wells or those things in areas and use that for low cost energy. Every Bitcoin mining fund or people I have talked to are looking for that low cost kilowatt per hour. It can be hydro, it can be anything. So the high cost of energy in the ESG movement in Bitcoin is already there without taxation. This is just another way of trying to get more revenue coming in. And all it will do is drive Bitcoin mining underground, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, because, you know, it's, they got to get their grubby little hands on it. You know what I mean? We got to tax it, baby. You know, you're not, we're not going to let it go. We're not going to let it go untaxed. You don't think there's a way to weasel around and for us to be able to, the federal government to be able to get their take. Here's what I think. I think that it's clear when they don't like something, they brand it as non-clean. When they don't like something, oh, it's emissions blaze. You're creating emissions. Because if what you're saying is true, Stu, that the primary use case for crypto mining is to capture flare gas, which would normally be flared into the atmosphere and release CO2, the very thing that causes climate change, which the federal administration is then taxing people to do that. Now, I get what they're saying. They're going after people who are plugging into a wall. But how do you even know that? I mean, this is just where they're throwing things in the budget to virtue signal to their base. Hey, look at us. We're on your side. They'd never implement this.
You never know what stupidity lurks in the mind of a politician.
Appreciate you guys tuning in for this week in review. As always, these stories are brought to us by the world's greatest website, energynewsbeat.com. Check us out. All the links in the descriptions below. Have a good weekend, folks. We'll see you Monday.